Baruchim Abayim, ladies. We are studying today Parashat Ekev. I'd like to say over one chiddush from the parasha and expound on it. There's a pasuk in the parasha that says, "Ve'ata Yisrael, ma Adonai Elohecha shoel me'imach." Today we're learning the memory of Yohanan ben Ifa and Siman Tov and Ilov ben Esther and Moshe Ruach Hashem Tenichem began Eidr. Amen. The pasuk says, "Ve'ata Yisrael," and now Israel, "Ma Adonai Elohecha shoel me'imach." What does God want from you? And then the Torah goes on to say what he wants. So the Gemara in Menachot on page 43, Mem Gimel, tells us of an episode that took place in the times of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. The Gemara says there was a plague. And every single day, exactly 100 people were dying. Bar Minnan, Lo Alinu Velo Alechem. And the doctors couldn't figure it out, not the scientists. There was no medical reason why this should be happening. Every day 100, it's a tremendous amount. God forbid, if there's one funeral a day, it's a lot. Could you imagine 100? And they don't know where it's coming from. David HaMelech, Alav HaShalom, had divine inspiration. He had Ruach HaKodesh. And using his Ruach HaKodesh, he was able to figure out a solution. And it worked. And he established for us a tradition that we still have until the present day. And that's the institution of making 100 berachot every single day. Me'a berachot. And he noticed, as they started to make the me'a berachot, the people stopped dying. But the only question is, David HaMelech cannot make a new institution on his own. Our Torah is sealed. Every rabbi now is going to come along and make a new mitzvah, make a new halakha. Unless he had a hint in the Torah. Maybe he found it somewhere in the Torah. So the rabbi says yes. And the Gemara says from this pasuk that I quoted you. Ve'ata Yisrael. And now Israel. Ma Hashem Elohecha Shoel Me'imach. What is God asking from you? So the Gemara says, "Al tikre ma ela me'a." You know what God's asking from you? Me'a. Give him 100. What, your $100 bill? God doesn't need your money. What do you mean give him 100? Give him 100 berachot. That's what God is asking. So David HaMelech didn't make this up from nowhere. He had a source in the Torah. The only question is, yes, he had a source, but it doesn't say that in the Torah. The Torah says, ma. And the Gemara says, well, don't read it ma, but read it me'a. Could you do that? You just take a letter from nowhere, and you stick it in the ma, and you turn ma into me'a. Magic. And the rabbis do it all the time. But how? In order to explain this, I'll tell you an easy chiddush. I want to ask you a question. Until David HaMelech, they weren't making berachot? You're telling me in David HaMelech's time, before this institution, when they pick up a glass of water, they don't make a berachot? They just drank it without berachot? Of course not. The berachot already were established from beforehand. I have to assume that Avraham Avinu also made berachot before he ate. The Torah says, Eliezer, when he got to the well, he said, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham. He also made berachot. So David HaMelech didn't institute making berachot. So what does it mean? He said, so somebody answered, no, he made 100. Meaning in those days, could be they made 50 or 60. He was the one that came along and said, you have to make 100 berachot on a daily basis. He made the number. That's a simple interpretation. But I'll tell you the deeper interpretation. Okay, we're allowed to listen to music now. It's after Tisha B'Av. It's not a problem. Last week it would be a problem, but now it's okay. 2 weeks ago. The explanation is like this. The Gemara writes, or Hazal say, Tefillah belo kavana, kiguf belo neshama. A prayer without kavana is like a body without a soul. That means, in order to put life in the tefillah, so the tefillah becomes alive, it must have kavana. Kavana means concentration. Kavana means thought. But if the tefillah is robotic, if the tefillah is routine, if it's just being spoken out of habit, without any kavana, so it's empty. It's like a body without a soul. Now, a body without a soul, in English, we call that dead. And that's what the tefillah is. The tefillah becomes lifeless. It has no hayut. It has no existence. In the times of David HaMelech, they were making berachot. But you know what? The berachot were dead. They were making the berachot almost like the way we make our berachot. We're very religious people. I don't suspect anybody in the room, including the speaker, that we would ever pick up something without at least moving our mouths for 2.1 seconds or nanoseconds before we would put it in our mouth. Everybody says berachot, beracha rishona, beracha harona, but can we say that our berachot are filled with life? Can we say that our berachot have kavana, or are the berachot perfunctory? Perfunctory means, you know what perfunctory means? I'll tell you what it means. That's like when you see somebody, when you're walking into the class, and you say, how are you? You don't mean really, how are you? How are you means keep on walking. Keep on walking. You just say it. That's a matter of speech. But you don't have kavana, how are you? Because if the person says, well, you know, my back is hurting, they say, oh no, what did I get involved in now? I wasn't really asking you a question to give me an answer. I would just say, how are you? And it means like nothing. What time is it? So that's the same thing. Our berachot became like, how are you? We're just talking to God some words, but we're not thinking, and we don't expect Him to hear it, and we don't really expect to mean it. So that's what's happening in David HaMelech's time. So he figured out the tefillot that they're making is keguf belo neshama. And he said, that's what's happening. God is taking away the neshamot of Am Yisrael because we are taking away the neshama from the beracha. So he calculated, if I put the neshama back into the beracha, so then Borei Olam will put the neshamot back into the bodies. And his calculation was 100% accurate. Now, that speaks a lot to me. Because now you're telling me that making a beracha is not just asking permission from God before you eat something or drink or before you do a mitzvah. That's a simple interpretation. But the power of the beracha brings life into the world. Chas v'shalom, if somebody's bedridden in a hospital somewhere and the doctors are giving a big, they're skeptical on his future, and all of a sudden some fellow in New York, Baruch Atta, and he says a beracha with life, and all of a sudden the fellow says, I'm feeling a little better. And they do testing, and they see the Baruch Hashem is okay. That's the power of beracha. You say, okay, this is Kabbalistic. This is, no, this is the Gemara says. The Gemara says that David HaMelech saw 100 people dying, and he said, this is linked not to a bacteria, this is not linked to a virus, this is not linked to the water system, this is linked to berachot. Once we fix the berachot, then the plague will stop. And that wasn't only in his time. This is something that is timeless. That every time Jews make berachot with kavana, it stops the plague. It definitely has the ability, and the investment is not so great. How long does it take to say a beracha with kavana? 4 or 5 seconds. At most, just to say it a little slower, but the value is endless. Oh, if that's so, in Hebrew, what does the word ma mean? Ma means what? You know how you use the word ma? Ma is usually when it's something that's worthless. Something that doesn't have too much value. Like you say, Mazeh, what is this? This is nothing. Ma, ma bekach. It's usually a word that's used as nothing. Doesn't have any value. You say, like Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu was talking, he said, V'nachnu ma. He said, what are we? That's why Moshe was the most humble. Because he referred to himself, what are we? We're ma. We're nothing. You see, in the times of David HaMelech, the berachot were ma. They were saying berachot, but they were just being shot out of the mouth without any thought. Now, if you look at the letters of the alphabet, if I were to tell you the letter Aleph, what does Aleph remind you of when you think of Aleph? Well, Aleph is one, the first letter in the alphabet. That must remind you of God. That's very good. If you connected Aleph to God, you're thinking straight. On a deeper understanding, which I told you many times, that the letter Aleph is made up of three letters. It's made up of a Vav. You see, the spine of the Aleph is a crooked Vav. And then there's a Yud on top, and there's a Yud on the bottom. You see that Aleph over there? Yavo Ubo. You see the Aleph? Etched on the Hechal. You see the Vav, and then the two Yuds. A Vav equals 6. Two Yuds equal 20. That means the Aleph, if you break it down, equals 26. 26 is actually the name of God, Yud, He, and Vav, and He. That holy name, Yud Ke Vav Ke, also equals 26. And therefore, whenever we see the word Aleph, that's godliness. That letter Aleph represents Al-Lufoshil Olam, the oneness of God. And the letter itself, although we say Aleph equals 1, but Aleph really equals 26. When you start to break it down into its bones, into its pieces. And therefore the goal of every beracha is to turn the ma and put some godliness in it. Put neshama into the beracha. You have to add an aleph. You have to make from the ma and turn it into me'ah. That's what David HaMelech was saying, the derasha is. Al tikre ma. Don't. That's the problem. You're making the berachot like ma. You're just spitting them out. The berachot cannot be like that. You have to turn nothing into something. That means you have to add the neshama into the beracha. The neshama is symbolized in the letter aleph, which is God. And therefore, once you put the aleph in the beracha, now you've turned from ma into me'ah. Now you've turned it into something that's valuable. So therefore, he wasn't changing the context of the pasuk. He was giving you the cause of the problem. The problem is you're making berachot. But the problem is, are our berachot anything to write home about? Are our berachot anything to boast or brag about? They're nothing. What kind of berachot do you make? How do I know? Because how many times do we pick up the coffee and we ask ourselves, did we make the beracha? Well, that means it's possible that we weren't even aware that we made a beracha. That means we're doing it so routinely. I once heard a derasha from Hatam Sofer. Hatam Sofer said the following. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. We say it on Shabbatot. Le David. This is for David. B'shanoto et ta'amo. Lefnei Avimelech. Vayigareshehu. Vayilach. What is this talking about? David HaMelech, one time, he came to Borei Olam and he said, God Almighty, I understand that everything you create in the world, you create for a reason. Borei Olam has a cause and a reason for everything. But why did you create Meshuga'im? Why did you make crazy people in the world? For what do we need crazy people? So God tells David HaMelech, one day you're going to see that you need crazy people also. One time David HaMelech, he had killed Goliath. He killed Goliath. Well, anyway, Goliath's family wanted to take revenge against David HaMelech. And he found himself in trouble, David. And they brought him to the king. And the king over there, his name was Abimelech. In those days, Abimelech was like a Paro. His name wasn't Abimelech. His name was Achish. But all the kings of the Philistim, they would call them Abimelechs. Just like all the kings of Egypt, they would call pharaohs. So the king was Achish Melech Gat, which is part of the Philistim area. And they brought David HaMelech over there, and they're going to kill him. And all of a sudden, David HaMelech starts to drool on his beard, and he starts talking like a crazy man. And Abimelech says, "Oh my, look at this guy." Abimelech, his wife was a mishuga'at. His wife was a crazy lady. He had married one crazy lady. So he knew what mishuga'im was. His wife was crazy. She would write on the walls. She would scream, "You owe me money. You this, that." So now he sees another mishuga'at. So he says, "Hasir mishuga'im ani? I don't have enough mishuga'im in my house. Get him out of here. Send them back." So all of a sudden, David Abimelech said to Borei Olam, "Wow. Now I realize mishuga'im have a purpose. If you didn't make me mishuga, I would have got killed. It saved my life." So it says, "LeDavid, b'shanoto et ta'amo." When God changed his ta'am, ta'am is his logic, his reasoning. "B'shanoto ta'amo lifna Abimelech," in front of Abimelech. Vaygareshehu. He kicked him out, vayelach. So what did David HaMelech say after that? "Abarecha et Adonai bechol et." I have to praise God at all times. Now I realize that even mishuga'im are beneficial to the world. Tamid dehillato b'fi. The praise of God will always be in my mouth. That's the simple interpretation of that chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. But the Hatam Sofer says like this. When David HaMelech saw that he was mishuga', temporary insanity we would call that, that he lost his mind for a few moments, and then all of a sudden he got his mind back. And David HaMelech was self-critical to himself, and he said, "You know what? Many of us, we have a certain area in our life where we have a self-imposed insanity, where you can have the most wise and intelligent people, but at certain moments of the day, we make ourselves like we're mishuga'im. And you know when that is? When we're making berachot. When we're making berachot, it's like we're talking gibberish. We're talking without sense. We're talking without kavanah. That's the typification of a mishuga', where he talks and there's no reason." So David HaMelech says, "B'shanato ta'amo lifta Abimelech." When God took his mind away during the times of Abimelech, what did he say? "Abarecha et Adonai bechol et, tamid tehillato b'fi." I see that my berachot are just like a mishuga as well. The berachot are coming from my mouth. And when things just come from the mouth, and they're not coming from the brain, and they're not coming from the heart, he says, "Tamid tehillato b'fi." It's superficial. That's like, "How are you? How are you?" It's coming from the mouth. You're not thinking about it from your heart. You're not thinking from your brain. So David HaMelech says, "I'm a mishuga even when I'm not a mishuga. Even when I have my brains, but I'm spitting out berachot bekol et." But unfortunately, it remains lip service. It remains b'fi. So David HaMelech came along and made this takana. That's why, if you look in the Navi, the pasuk writes like this when it talks about David HaMelech. It says, "Ne'um haGever." The Gever is David HaMelech, the man who kam al. The one that rose above. The simple interpretation is that David HaMelech rose above his inclination. David HaMelech who kam'al. He rose above himself. Where normally people go after their lusts and their passions, who kam'al. He went above himself. But the Gemara says, what's the numerical value of al? Al is ayin lamed. Ayin is 70 and lamed is 30. You're absolutely correct. And that's what David HaMelech says, Hukam al, he established al. He established the takana of 100 berachot. But they were making berachot.
His establishment was, now you have to start making berachot like you mean it. Now you have to spend a few moments in making the beracha with kabana.
I once explained a chidush. We said like this. The beracha is Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Amosi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Let's take for example. If you would tape somebody making a beracha, and you would play it back slowly, to listen to every word slowly, you have to make it very slow to hear the word, you will notice that most people are not making the berachot properly. Forget about they're saying it fast. That's, leave that. But they're not even saying the right words. And I've told you this as an example. People say, Baruch Ata. Baruch Ata. Chata. There's no word chata. It's Baruch Ata. But if you say it fast, you say, Baruch Ata. Baruch Ata, Chata. So you swallow the Aleph. So now the Aleph is missing. Now, for a beracha to be effective, you have to have all the words. And you have to have all the letters. So, when you say Chata, Chata is not a beracha. The Aleph, so you're supposed to pause. Baruch Ata. Now, Elokeinu, then the people say, Melech Ha'olam. There's no word Ha'olam. What they do is they take the melech, the chaf of melech, and they just swallow it into the next word. Melech ha'olam. Ha'olam. No, melech ha'olam. They have to pronounce the heh. So the aleph, they swallowed. They have to make a beracha aharona on the letters that they ate. Besides the food that they're eating, they ate all the letters. This alphabet soup, they ate all the letters of the berachot. Melech ha'olam. And then they say, Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Now what they did over here is, they made, they economized. Because you have lechem, the last letter of lechem is a mem. And the first letter of min is a mem. So they said, why waste two mems? We can use one mem for both. So they say, Amotzi lechem min, lechem min. Look at that, one word is versatile. We can use it for the end of this word, and for the beginning of the next word. So I once said a hadush like this. That's what David HaMelech was saying. That you have to make me'ah berachot. Al tekrema ila me'ah. You know why he said me'ah? Because he was hinting to us the three letters that the people swallow. They swallow the mem when they say amotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Don't swallow the mem. Stop. Amotzi lechem min. They swallow the aleph. When they say baruch ata, don't swallow the aleph. Say baruch ata. And they swallow the heh. When they say melech ha'olam, don't say ha'olam, get the air. So then when you remember me'ah berachot, it's hinting to you the three letters that usually people are going to pronounce in the proper way. Now, of course, on this subject of the me'ah berachot, there's another reason given. I will give you that reason as well. And I will tell you a derash on it. This is an endless topic. We could talk a lot on it. But we'll, again, cut our words to a minimum, just so you get the major concepts. And another time, Zat Hashem, maybe on Shabbat, when we have more time to elaborate, we can say even more things. Barazat Hashem. The reason is brought down in the book of Minhagim. In the Parashah of Kitavo. We didn't read it yet. We're going to read it in a few weeks. That Parashah is known for the Kelalot, Chas v'Shalom, there's 98 curses written in that parasha. Wow, it's so scary, those curses, that our custom is that the Chazan reads it in a low voice, because we don't want to scare the Kahal. They won't come back next week to Shul, we won't have a minyan. So we read it very, very low, so they shouldn't get scared. The Hafiz Chaim said the opposite, we should scare them. What kind of curse is that if you say it low? It defeats the purpose. Say it out loud so the people will make teshuvah. We opted for the other theory. Anyway, after the 98 curses, there's one more pasuk. And God says, don't think it's only 98. Gam kol holi v'chol makah asher lo katuv. not only what's written, but every holy and every makkah, holy is disease, makkah is a plague, that's not written, you're also going to get. So the rabbis say, really, it's 98 plus 2. Because gam holy ve gam makkah. So Achamim say, how do you save yourself from the 98 plus 2 kelalot in Parashat Kitavo? By making the 100 berachot. So the 100 berachot not only bring life back into people that are sick, but it's much more than that. It saves the nation from, if we would only believe in what we were saying here today, if we would only believe it, that this is not a sigula from some modern imposter that writes sigulot that mean nothing, that are that have no source. This over here, people are always asking, Hakam, give me a sigula, sigula, sigula. This is coming from the Talmud. Nobody can challenge a sigula that's written from the Talmud. This is not from some Kabbalistic fraud that comes along and says, do this 6 times, do this 14 times, stand on your head, wear this, don't say that, show me a ketubah. All these fakers that are running around a dime a dozen, that are just extorting money from people and not giving them any advice whatsoever, only making themselves rich on the back of naive people that are just looking for some sort of hope. There is no room for anybody to go to any mikubal or any rabbi unless you ask your rabbi first, Hacham, is this proper to do or not to do? But the people think to themselves, no, my rabbi doesn't know how to do that stuff. He'll do this for me. Nobody can help you more than your own rabbi. Remember what I'm telling you. The rabbi that your rabbi can help you. Even though you see a big, big tzaddik, and everybody's going around kissing his hand, and he's writing letters, and he's doing all sorts of heebie-jeebie and hocus-pocus. Say, oh, my rabbi doesn't do hocus-pocus. I have to go over there, and maybe he'll be able to do some magic to me. But the rabbi is saying, your rabbi can do more for you than all these magicians, and all these charlatans, and all these crooks, and all these thieves that are coming in order to fool the people. Trust me when I tell you that. All of our community always had success because they always went to their own rabbis. They didn't need, but today this became a fad. Everybody has their local rabbi. This one finds a rabbi in a basement in Williamsburg. This one finds him in the attic in Borough Park. And this one finds him that he flies all the way to the end of the world. And he has a special meeting with him. Where did this come from over here? Aseh lecha rav. Make for yourself a rabbi, the rabbi of the kehillah, the rabbi that you learn with, the rabbi that you have a familiarity with. Not these this type of things. And they make up things. Amei aratzut. They don't learn Torah. They're too busy counting money all day long. They're too busy making all sorts of scams on the people. This is not the Torah. You're making the Torah now a game. The Torah has become like a slot machine, where you put money in it, and you try to win, and you try to use the Torah to for your own benefit. Here the Gemara is telling you, there's a sigula in the Gemara. This you don't need, the rabbi. The Gemara says it. Rabbi Nadav Asher, they wrote it for you. Say the 100 berachot, and the Achamim say, that wards off the 100 kelalot of Kitavo. What a great investment. Only a few seconds it takes. And you do it constantly, you get into a good habit. But we once said a derasha like this. In this week's parasha it says, V'hesir Adonai Memecha kol holy. Listen to what it says. V'yasir Adonai memecha kol holy. And God will remove from you all sickness. Only problem is, the Torah doesn't tell us how He's going to do it. Nothing for nothing. God is not just going to remove sickness. We have to do something to deserve that reaction, to deserve that treatment. But the Torah doesn't tell us. It says, V'yasir Adonai memecha kol holy. The truth is, it says it in the early Pesukim. But I'm going to explain to you the depth. Kol holy, all sickness. Kol is chaf lamed. Chaf lamed is 50. Holy is het lamed yud. Het lamed yud is 48. 50 and 48 is 98. Kol Choli is referring to the 98 curses that are in Parashat Kitavot. That's Kol Choli. That includes everything. And if you count the words Kol Choli, that's another two. That's 100. That means Kol Choli is 98 plus the two words. So the Torah is telling you there's a way to get rid of the 100 Kenalot, Kematria Kol Choli. And you know how you do that? V'hesir Adonai, God will remove from you. How? Mimmecha, from you. Mimmecha is Mem, Mem, Chaf. Mem is 80 and Chaf is 20. If you want Borei Olam to remove Kol Choli, you must establish Mimmecha. You must establish the 100. Once you establish the Mimmecha of the 100 Berachot, then already the Kol Choli of the 100 Kelalot will go away. That is the trick of accomplishing this great feat. But now I'm going to tell you a deeper hiddush. We say in the prayers on Shabbat, the Nishmat, Hen Hem Yodu Vibarechu. Are you familiar with that line? Hen Hem, I don't know what that means exactly. What does Hen mean? Hen is them. What does Hem mean? Them. One time it's written Hen Nun, Hen, and one time it's written Hem Mem. I don't know, let it say Hem Hem, or let it say Hen Hen, or let it just say Hen, or let it just say Hen. I don't know what this Hen Hem you'll do, but I know one thing, that before I take out my whiteout and start correcting the Sidur, I give the rabbis who established the Sidur benefit of the doubt, that if they wrote Hen Hem, they knew what they were talking about. Hen Hem Yodu Vibarechu. And then I start to calculate, and I see that Hen is Hen Nun. Hen Nun is 55. And Hem is Hem Mem is 45. 55 and 45 is 100. So the rabbis were hinting to us, Hen Hem Yodu Vibarechu. That every day, Hen Hem Yodu Vibarechu, that you should make the numerical value of Hen Hem. Make the 100 Berachot. How do you, that's a good question, how do you count them? The poskim count them for you. If you just follow being Jewish and pray the tefillot that you're supposed to pray and make the Berachot before you eat, then you really don't even have to worry because automatically you're going to get to 100. The only days where we have to struggle is on a fast day when we're not eating, And Shabbatot with the Amidahs a little less. But if you're just acting in a Jewish way, you really don't have to walk around with a counter counting the Berachot. Especially those people that go for midnight snacks, they definitely have nothing to worry about. Now, watch what I'm telling you now. Watch what I'm telling you now. I want to tell you a deep interpretation on the power of the Berachot. We all know this. What I'm telling you now was written by a great tzaddik who wrote a sefer called Shefa Tal. That's the name of the sefer. His name was Sheftel. So he wrote a book Shefa Tal, which is the name of his name. He says like this: God's name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Whenever you connect to that holy name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's mercy. And we're always trying to figure out, in these shi'urim as well, how to connect to that name. V'atem adebekim b'adonai Elohechem ha'im kolechem ayom. If you can just figure out a way to be davek, to hold on to that Yud Kei Vav Kei, the holy name of Hashem, ha'im kolechem ayom, you have life all day long, for everybody. But how do you access this holy name, Yud Kei Vav Kei? Do I have to write it? Do I have to just look at it all day long? Shiviti Hashem l'negdi tamin. What's the way? Now, I'm not saying there's only one way. There's many ways to get under the auspices of this holy name. But I'll tell you what the Sheikh Atal said. Let's see if I can explain this to you. The name of God is what? Yudke Babke. Let's split it in half to make it easy. Yudke. Yudhe. I say ke because we don't say it's always the name. Yudhe. Yudhe is how much? 15. That's not confusing at all, is it? No. Okay. Now in the Hebrew alphabet, from Aleph to Taf, how many different ways, using the Hebrew letters, can I come to the number 15? Well, Yud K is definitely one. Is there another way I can get to 15? Yes. I wrote it down so I don't get confused. Tet Vav. What if I take a Tet and a Vav? Am I right or wrong? Tet is 9, Vav is 6. That's also another way to get to 15. Or for that matter, I could do Zayin Het. Right? If I take Zayin and Het, that's 7 and 8. 7 and 8 is also 15. Is there any other way I can come to using two letters of the Hebrew alphabet? 9 and 6 is Tet Vav. That we did. Very good. I want you to say that. Tet Vav. That's very good. Tet Vav we have down. Yud He we have down. Zayin Het we have. Guess what? Those are the only three ways to come to 15. Yud Keh only in the Hebrew alphabet, there's three ways to come by it. Now, let's do Vav here. How many ways can you come to Vav? 11 in the Hebrew alphabet. Well, we'll do it together. Vav here is obviously one. Vav here is 11. Let's do Zayin. Zayin is 7. So Zayin Dalid will get you to 11 as well. Right? 7 and 4. Chet. Chet and Gimal. 8 and 3. Chet Gimal. Tet and Bet. 9 and 2. And Yud and Aleph. After that you cannot do it anymore. So there's 5 ways that you can come to Vavke in the alphabet. Ah. So now watch. There's 3 ways to come to Yudke. That means in God's alphabet, don't think this is a mistake. For whatever reason, He wanted this number 15 only to work 3 times. And for some reason, when He wrote the alphabet, God Almighty, He wanted the number 11 to work 5 times. Coincidence? Says the Sheikh Adal, absolutely not. 15 times 3 is how much? 45. Which is the word Hem. Hemim. 11 times 5 is 55. That's the word Hen. Henun. And he says that's the real Kavanah when you say Hen, Hem, Yudu. You're thinking of what? God's name Yudke Vavke. That the Yudke is Hem. That's 45 because the 15 comes 3 times. And when you say Hen, which is 55, you're thinking of the Vavke, which comes 5 times. Oh, so now we're getting an insight. When you have the Kabbalah, Hen, Hem, Yudu, Vibarichu, you're thinking of God's holy name, Yudke, Vavke. And altogether, what does it equal? 100. That means by making the 100 Berachot, you're connecting to the Hem and the Hen. You're connecting and you're creating the full name of Hashem. But if you make 97 berachot a day, it's not hen hen. In order to get the full value of the yudke and the vavke, it's got to be complete. That means at the end of the day, once you hit your 100th beracha, boom, hen hen. Now you completed the 100. Yudu, vibarichu, vishabi'u. You make all the berachot correctly. Now you're under the influence of Hashem's name, and now all the berachot are able to come down. This is a very, very great, great concept. Could you imagine? Most people, they look at the siddur, hen hem. What is hen hem? Now you're understanding him is all the secrets of Yudke Vavke is in those two letters, those two words. But I'll tell you even more. There's a rabbi called the Da'at Zekinim in Ma'aliyat Tosafot. And then I have to conclude with this because I have to go somewhere. If I don't cut myself short, this is a subject we could talk for hours upon end. It's a beautiful concept of Me'ah Berachot. I made the beracha and the coffee ready. If not, I would make it slowly so we could have a zechut to answer amen again to say beracha properly. But I trust you that you'll know how to do it now. Somebody will tell me, Rabbi, it's too hard to make 100 berachot. Now you tell me with kavanah? That's impossible. One or two a day, we could do it with kavanah. After the class, maybe one or two, we're excited. But we don't live excited. We cool down after the shi'ur. We go down the block, we forget what the rabbi said. And right away, we put a candy in our mouth, and we're back to our old ways. So, Rabbi, you're telling 100 berachot. It's too much for us to swallow, to go from 0 to 100. Is that possible to go from 0 to 100 in one shi'ur? It's too hard. But you're scaring us because you're telling us the value is so great. Yudke Vavke, 100 curses. It puts life into the beracha. It puts life into people. It stops plagues. But I feel guilty because I want to do it, but I can't do it. I have a hard time concentrating. So I'm telling you what the Tosafot says. He says a big hadush. Only the Da'at Zekirim could say such a thing. We have no right to say it unless he said it. He says there's a certain prayer that if a person has kavanah in this prayer, so then God gives him credit as if he made the 100 berachot with kavanah. So we found the secret. We found a loophole. Now you just have to have kavanah in one beracha.
I like that.
Of course you like it. We all like it.
It's cute.
But I cannot tell it to you today because I have to go. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I'll tell it to you. That's the beracha of Modin. In the Amidah, there's a certain blessing towards the end, where we say, Modim anachnu lach. And we bow in front of God, and we say, Modim anachnu lach. We praise you, we thank you, we bow to you. So he says, that beracha is equivalent to the 100 berachot. I don't know, how many modims are there? I'm talking about the Amidah, the Amidah. I don't know one, I don't know two. My Amidah only has one. I'm talking about the Modim that you pray in the Amidah. And I'm talking about the Hazara ladies. When you pray the Amidah, don't you say Modim Anam Alach Shatahu Hashem Elokeinu? That beracha is like 100 berachot. And he says, if you take the numerical value of the word Modim, Mem is 40. Vav is 6, is 46. Dalid is 4, that's 50. And Yud Mem is 50. Modim equals 100. So when you say Modim Anachnu Lach, that's like you gave God the 100 Berachot. So this is something I believe we're able to do. Now, you just have to know the value of what this Beracha is, the Beracha of Modim. So I will just tell you one kavanah for the beracha. We say, Erev haboker v'sahorayim, anishmotenu ha-pekudot lach, v'nisecha shebechol yo'imanu, which means we're going to praise you, evening, morning, and afternoon. Erev haboker v'sahorayim. And what are we going to praise you on? Anisecha v'anifleotecha v'anishmotenu ha-pekudot lach, for the miracles that you do for us, for all the things that you do for us, we're going to praise you in the night, once, in Arbit, when we pray the Amidah, in the Shacharit, Boker, and in the afternoon. So basically you have to have the Kavanah three times a day. Why did they make this Beracha? So the rabbis explain The Gemara writes, really, we should sing praise to God on every breath that we take. Kol neshama tehallelia, al kol neshima unshima ten lo hallel. Person's able to inhale. You're supposed to ishtabach shem olad. What a breath that was! Great, fantastic. You breathe again. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, Abdi Adonai. Every time you breathe, you're really supposed to give praise to God. But we're too busy. We cannot sit home all day long just breathing and praising, breathing and even though that's what we're really supposed to be doing. But we will not be able to do anything but breathe and praise. When are we going to work? When are we going to go do things? So therefore, the rabbi said, when you say the Berachah Modim, so you have Kabbanah, that the Shachrit Modim covers me for all the breaths that I'm going to take until Mincha. And Mincha covers me for all the breaths that I'm going to take until Arbit. And Arbit covers me for all the breaths that I'm going to take until Shari. That was a Ba'al Nishmotenu. That we're thanking God for Nishmotenu, for our Nishima. The fact that we're able to breathe and inhale and we have the proper amount of oxygen and that we're able to live as a result of it. So this is really one Beracha that we say sporadically, but it's an Erev Avog V'Sahuraim. It's considered as if we're doing it throughout the entire day. Al Nishmotenu Pekadot Lach. So by doing that, it's considered we're praising God in a constant way. Furthermore, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, in chapter 28, it says in the Pasuk, no, chapter 128, the Pasuk says like this, David HaMelech is talking, Hineh, behold, Kichen Yevorach Gaver Yere Adonai. Behold, Yevorach Gaver. When you're blessing a person, you should bless him that he should have Yirat Shamayim. Hine Kichen Yevorach Gaver. When you want to bless somebody, what should you bless him? You say, I bless you, Yere Hashem. You should have fear of God. But if you look at the word Yevorach, it's missing a vav. It could be read Yevarech. Yevarech means to bless. Yevorach is to receive a blessing. Yevarech is to make a blessing. David HaMelech was saying like this, Hine, behold, Kichen. What is Kichen? Ki is Chaf Yud. Chaf Yud is 30. Chen is how much? Chaf Nun. Chaf Nun is 70. 70 and 30. Hine, Kichen. 100. Yevarech Gaber. And then, Yerashim, then already it will bring fear of God to you. That means there's two ways to do it. Either the long way, Kichen Yevorach Gaver, make the 100 berachot, or the easier way is, Eshtachaveh Elechal Kotshecha. If I bow down to you, Be'iratech, I can also get fear of God that way as well. Eshtachaveh, where should I bow down to you? When I say, Modim Anachnu Lach. Adam HaRishon, the Gemara says, when he was created, his legs were on the earth and his head reached all the way to Shamayim. It was like a skyscraper. And after he ate from the tree, God came to Adam HaRishon and he minimized him, he shrunk him. And it says he shrunk him to 100 feet. Or 100 ammah. That's not such a shrinking. But if you're a skyscraper, you're a tower, and all of a sudden you go down to 100 ammot, it's much less. The Mefarshim are asking, is this literal? Are we to believe that Adam HaRishon really was a giant like that? His head reached the Shamayim, and then they shrunk him to 100 ammot? I don't have a problem to believe it. If some rabbi tells me you have to believe it, I believe it. I can stretch my brain to believe it. But there must be a lesson. You know the rabbi saying? Before Adam HaRishon ate from this tree, he felt connected to God. He was on earth, but his head was in the Shamayim. There was a connection. Like when you send a spaceship up to the moon, and they say, NASA, do you hear me? And all of a sudden, thousands of miles, then they say, yes, we hear you. There's a connection between Shamayim and Aris. Adam HaRishon lived on earth, but his head was in the Shamayim. There was clear reception. If you would ask Adam HaRishon, he says, I feel close to Hashem. I feel the book. After he ate from the tree, what happened? They cut the wires. Now the connection was broken. Imagine you're on the moon and you say, hey, NASA, do you hear me? Houston, do you hear me? There's no answer. You say, oh, the connection was broken. And God shrunk Adam and Rishon to 100 Ammah. You know what the lesson he was telling? Now God said, the only way you could reestablish a connection is to the 100. What's the 100? The 100 Berachot. So really the first one to start the 100 Berachot was already Adam and Rishon. And that was to establish again the connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Adam and Rishon lived to 930 years. He was supposed to live to 1,000. What happened to the 70 years? He gave it to David HaMelech. So really, if you look at David HaMelech, who are you looking at? Adam HaRishon. He's living on Adam's life. Those 70 years are Adam's years. He donated them to David. That's why David, he said, I'm going to finish what Adam HaRishon started. Adam HaRishon, after he ate from the tree, it says God shrunk him to Me'ah. So Adam established 100 Berachot, but that was private for himself. Then David HaMelech Alav HaShalom came, and David HaMelech came along and said, I'm going to establish the 100 Berachot for Klal Yisrael. So therefore what happened as an individual, David HaMelech would have, because it's the same person. And now you understand the depth of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shu'el Meimach. What does God want from you? Ma. The numerical of the word Ma is 45. The numerical word of Adam, Adam Rishon, Adam, Aleph, Dalet Mem, is 45. That the Pasuk is saying, Ma Hashem Elohecha Shu'el Meimach, which is the original Berachot, started from the one that's Ma, started from Adam Rishon. That was the original one. But David HaMelech came along, and he said, when Adam Rishon started from day one of creation, or day six, now I'm going to continue. And as a result, he was able to get rid of a lot of mitah, a lot of death, a lot of curses. For us again, as I say, don't give up. Even one berachah with kavanah is better than no berachot. But at least we have the bailout. At least we have the second option of the ba'ala, the zekenim, to say the mudim with kavanah. Anushmotenu, to thank God for our breathing from morning to afternoon till night. And then be'azat Hashem, ve'esir Adonai me'mecha kol holi, then all the sickness will go away. Kol holi gematria 98, tzach kelalot, me'mecha is 100. And then be'azat Hashem will be fulfilled upon us. Lo yeh becha akar v'akara u'bebimtecha, that there should be fertility amongst our people, and there should be prosperity amongst our people. V'chol medveh Mitzrayim ara'im, and all the disease and all the illness of Mitzrayim that we read about, Lo yevak will not be by us. Untanam bechosun echa. Instead, Borei Olam will bring it unto all our enemies. And in the zechut of the Be'ah Berachot, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will give our nation the refuah shelema and the beracha shelema and kol hashefa min hashamayim. Amen.